Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back on Volcanic Takes. It's Friday, so that means we are talking all things Tennessee on this beautiful day in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're all here. Ryan Schumpert of the University of Tennessee, Knoxville Daily Beacon is here. Ryan, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been an exciting week in Knoxville. A big win for the Lady Vols last night. But a lot going on. Excited to dive into everything.
Was that last night? Everything's blending together. I was doing a lot of different writing stuff last night, and I think the big win, I don't know, everything blends together. Tennessee's game, because Tennessee was supposed to play Tuesday, and they played Wednesday, and now the Vols baseball starts tonight, and like it's all blending together. I don't know what day is what and when whoever is playing who. Do you do a good job of keeping track of everything, Ryan?
For the most part, yes, but this week with all the... I mean, it's had more postponements this week. Game times changed, I guess, just due to all the bad weather. Obviously, with the basketball, it was the COVID-19 false positive test. But this week, I've been struggling. It's been more game time changes than I've seen since all the COVID stuff's happened.
Also here, David Sheely of WBIR and Georgia State alum, my Atlanta friend, David. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Anything new at WBIR?
No, not necessarily. But just kind of, you know, Ryan mentioned that Lady Vols game. I was at that Lady Vols game last night, and it was probably the second most entertaining game I have been to. I mean, it was dragging a little bit in that second quarter, but I mean, once Tennessee kind of got going in the second half, it was like, okay, this might actually happen. So that was really cool to see Tennessee snap that SEC game winning streak of South Carolina.
Yeah, it was big. It seems like she's going to be the right coach going forward, right? Is there any doubt at all that she's the right coach at this point?
No, I mean, she was kind of handpicked by Pat Summitt because Pat, so when Kelly was playing here, Pat pulled her to the side and said, you know, I think one day you're going to come back and coach.
Huh.
And Kelly was like, nah, I don't believe that because you're Pat Summitt and this is your job forever. You know, like Pat Summitt was going to be like the coach that just was always the coach. And now you fast forward to the future, Kelly's the head coach of Tennessee. And honestly, had somebody ask Pat, who do you think could take over as head coach in the future? Well, she had already made that decision back in the 90s and said it was going to be Kelly Harper. So I think, honestly, this is the right coach. It was a home run hire. And as you can see, Tennessee is starting to return to the Lady Vols that we know, because that was true Lady Vols basketball last night.
Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm always kind of a wait and see on all these coaching hires. And, you know, year one, pretty good, did some good things, didn't blow you away. But this year, I've been really impressed with what they've been able to do all year. Thought they were really close to getting that big-time win last month against UConn. They were right in that game till the last 2 or 3 minutes and kind of let it slip away. But they've been really, really solid this year. I think have made now 4 or 5 wins over top 25 teams, obviously getting a win over what South Carolina has become in the SEC and really nationally in college basketball is just it's pretty impressive. It's pretty crazy for Tennessee to beat South Carolina in women's basketball for it to be this big of a deal. But, I mean, it really is. I don't think you can undersell just how big of a win it was for Kelly Harper and her team and her program.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good week for Tennessee basketball as a whole. Let's just start there this week. A lot of Tennessee football that we can still get to. But Tennessee basketball, they beat South Carolina this week. Also, have you guys figured out that that's Frank Martin in the sidelines this season? Is that not insane? Like, how different he looks with a shaved head? It freaks me out every time that I'm just like, wait, who is that? Do they have an interim coach this year? Like, what is happening? Did Frank Martin opt out? And he said he lost his hair because of COVID. Like, I was reading up on this. I went down a rabbit hole of, like, because I'm like, I don't feel like I just didn't think I remember him losing his hair over the last couple of years. And then going back there, you're like, he said he lost it, but he said if it comes back, he'll grow it back out. It's a wild story. Ryan, what do you make of Fulkerson being back this week?
Yeah, I mean, that's the John Fulkerson they've been looking for the past few weeks. You know, Rick Barnes has said he's kind of got to get with what we're doing. We're not just going to throw the ball down low to him and run our offense through him, which is kind of how they tried to spark him for a while. And, I mean, Wednesday you saw exactly that. Fulkerson was running the floor really well. He was getting offensive rebounds, second chance points. He was getting to the free throw line the way he was able to do last year, which was very key for his offensive efficiency a season ago, and he hasn't been able to do it really at all this season. So I think it's a great sign. Obviously, consistency is the thing, but what he did Wednesday is exactly what they're looking at of him. And it's not going to, you know, be 19 points a night, but just getting him back to being a guy that can rely to get in double digits, 10, 12 points. And that's how I think he can do that without them having to run a whole lot of offense through him.
David, what do you think?
Yeah, well, we were kind of talking about it on Twitter. I'm not going to pretend that I was watching the game against mm-hmm. South Carolina. I was watching Naomi Osaka versus Serena Williams because there was just greatness on the tennis court there. But, you know, Folky has been challenged by Rick Barnes since he's really been kind of like the guy, I guess so, since last year. And I actually counted how many games in a row he had started. I think it was like 30-plus games, obviously. But, you know, him having to sit the bench last week to start the game was like, okay, like, Barnes is trying everything to wake this guy up. And I tell you what, 19 points, that's pretty good for Folky in terms of this season. But we know he can do more. That's the thing. Like last year, it was like, who's going to stop John Fulkerson? And this year, it's when is John Fulkerson going to get out of his own way? To see him score 19 points is good, but also Victor Bailey kind of coming back into form, scoring 29, because he started the year off, lead the team in scoring, and then he fell off, and he kind of came back. So that was good to see. You know, Barnes said they can't rely on the freshman too much, but I think that, you know, if your freshmen are doing their thing, and then you mix in the fact that you're going to have, you know, your veterans – returning to form, this team is very dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just in wait and see mode. It's so tempting to overreact to a great John Fulgerson game, or a great Springer and Keon game, or a great Victor Bailey game. It just, I want to see more consistency before I'm just like, okay, they're back. But like, I saw something on Rocky Top Insider this week about like, oh, Fulkerson shows that he still has enough to lead this team on a deep tournament run. And I'm just like, I mean, are we sure about that? I don't know. I'm still just not even close to being there, because I think Barnes is still tinkering with this lineup and he's still not sure what his best five is. Like, I think we're now February 19th and Barnes still doesn't know the right five that he should go with for the majority of the game. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. You know, the lineup has consistently changed this year. This has been one of those really fluid years where this lineup has just, it has not been set where you know who's starting, you know? And I think part of that is kind of what you just said. He doesn't really know who the set five are. But maybe just kind of put a positive twist on it. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, because you know that you have basically, Santiago didn't start the other night. When you look at the starters, everybody who usually should start did start, except for Santiago. So when you look at it, there's about six, arguably seven guys who can start for you potentially, and Barnes can kind of play with that. And then you've got one or two guys coming off the bench that could definitely start for a lot of programs, possibly in the SEC. So maybe that's not the worst thing. You know, I feel like having depth is what makes teams go further in the tournament than other teams who just have a really good starting five. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I David makes a great point about this is the first team, and I guess since that 2018 team, that really has had any change in the starting lineup consistently throughout the year. I think it's just, you know, I think it's more of a product of the inconsistency from, you know, they have seven guys that, like David's saying, that could be starters, and they just don't really have a whole lot of consistency from them. So Barnes is mixing it up, trying to find out what his best option is. And you talked about, or Chase, you talked about trying to find his best five, and I think it's maybe a little bit less of that just because they're going to have to play all these guys so much, and Barnes is very much a game by game, let's fill it out, who's playing well, and then let's roll with that. But that him doing that puts some pressure on him to be locked in there every game and making the right decisions and pushing the right buttons. And it's certainly a lot easier when you have five or maybe even just six guys, you know, we're going to roll with some semblance of these six like they did in the Admiral and Grant year, where they'd have Kyle come in and then go small with Grant and Admiral in the front court. It's easier to do that, and especially for the coach, because rotations, it makes it a lot more simple. But there just hasn't been that consistency from enough players on this team to submit themselves and force Barnes to keep them in the lineup.
Absolutely, absolutely. In terms of the football team, Tim Banks, that news broke not long after we recorded Friday, a couple days later, but he was the co-DC at Penn State. Already talking to some corners from I think Riverwood, so that looks good. He's recruiting the same kind of guys that Tennessee was looking at previously. Never called plays before on the defensive side of the football, so that should be interesting to see. Your first thoughts when you saw that Tim Banks, sticking to the Danny White plan of like, you think you know where we're going, you think Casey Rogers, we're going Tim Banks. Ryan, what do you make of the hire now that you've had several days to kind of think about it and see the rest of the staff?
Yeah, I think considering the amount of guys that turned him down, I think Tim Banks is a really strong option, and he was a guy that I think they had talked to earlier in the process, and there wasn't a ton of interest there, and then they kind of came back and threw the kitchen sink at him, proverbially. $1.3 million his first year, should be $1.5 million by his last. He's got a lot of things that stand out and you like. He's a good recruiter. He's been a co-defense coordinator or a defense coordinator at a lot of different stops. Obviously, wasn't, like you said, wasn't calling the plays at Penn State, which is a question mark. One thing that I wonder about is his reputation as really as a great recruiter, but a lot of that with all his ties in the Big Ten, a lot of ties to the city of Detroit, where he's recruited really, really well for Penn State, and Michigan's tried to pluck him away from Penn State, basically, that being one of the main reasons is how well he's recruited Detroit. So he certainly brings a lot to the table that you like, but I think just between the fact that he hasn't called plays before or any time recently, no recruiting ties in the Southeast, there's certainly still a lot of question marks around him, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. What do you think, David?
Yep, got what Ryan was just saying was right on point. This is a guy who's been on the defensive side of the ball his entire coaching career except for 1 year in 1999 where he was coaching the running backs at Bowling Green. But when you take a look at his defensive coordinator stints, his previous one coming from Penn State was not calling the defensive plays. If you're going to get a guy to come in and call your defensive plays in the SEC, it needs to be somebody who has called defensive plays in the SEC with success. The reason being is we've seen college football kind of turn into, okay, it's not so much defenses are going to win you championships. It's going to be an offense that has so many weapons that it's just impossible to keep up. Teams are scoring 40 points a game, 30 points a game. You know, we saw Alabama drop 50 burgers like it was nothing. You've got to be able to come with it. And that's going to be the concern. I honestly, as I'm looking at the staff and everything else as a whole, I really do believe that, you know, and I'm a fan of Heupel's offensive scheme. And I'm sure that they can score some points. But you've got to be able to keep up in the SEC. These SEC games, if they're not like some of those, like, okay, it's kind of going real slow, they're usually shootouts. They're usually these barn burners. And you got to have somebody who can, like, actually call some plays in the SEC. It's not to say that the offenses are complicated, but it's all about beating Bama, Georgia, Florida. And those are teams who we all saw, they can score, and they can really score at will. So that's the biggest question mark to me. And, of course, we all have to just kind of wait and see. But, you know, great recruiter, sure, fine. You know, Tennessee had great recruits the past couple of years. It's about what they actually do. Do the coaches know how to coach them once the players get there? You know, do they know how to put them in position to have success on the field? That's what this is going to come down to, not necessarily the names they bring in.
Yeah. Well, one name they will not be bringing in is Dylan Brooks, who was released from his letter of intent today. Cody Brown from my old high school back at Parkview also released from his letter of intent. Saw that coming based on conversations I had with his coach back at Parkview a couple weeks ago. But, none of these are surprises, but I wonder how much of this could have been avoided had Tennessee gotten the notice of, like, what the infractions are going to be and what the sanctions are going to be. And that is something that I think is going to continue to be a dark cloud over recruiting until that comes out, like, until we know for certain what is happening. The Dylan Brooks and the Cody Browns of the world are not committing to this program when they don't, well, A, they didn't commit to this coaching staff, but B, don't know if they're even going to be allowed to play in a bowl game over the next few years, compete for an SEC East title. Like, there are real questions about that. Until those are answered, I understand why these guys, especially the 4 and 5 stars, have no interest in signing up for that. David, what do you think?
I agree. You've got to, you know exactly what you're going into. If I'm 17, 18 years old, I need to know exactly what situation I'm stepping into, right? Am I going to get a chance to play? Am I going to get a chance to compete for conference titles? Am I going to get a chance to compete for a national championship? And if you're sitting there wondering, well, I don't even know if Tennessee is going to have that many scholarships on hand. I don't know if there's going to be a postseason ban. I don't know if there's going to be, you know, if I don't know what I'm stepping into, I don't want to step into that. And if I'm a four-star, five-star recruit, I've got offers from schools that are in a better situation than Tennessee. I'm sure Alabama might have said something to me. I'm sure Florida might have said something to me. Georgia, maybe Clemson, possibly Ohio State. may have all reached out to this point. And at least there, you know what you're going to step into at Clemson. You know what you're going to step into at Alabama. You know what you're going to step into at Georgia. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And I'm not 100% certain what the delay is on what the on the decision on the punishment. I'm not sure, why that itself is taking so long to become official. But the longer that goes, that's not good for Tennessee when it comes to trying to get names out of the transfer portal and when it comes to recruiting.
Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what y'all are saying, it's very, very difficult, and I think that's why it's really important that they come out sometime soon and put out some self-punishment, put out what the full findings of their investigation were. Now, that's not going to close the deal on everything because the NCAA is still there, but then you have a message. Then Josh Heupel and his staff can go into recruits' rooms and say, hey, this is just a one-year bowl ban. It's not even going to affect you. It's a two-year bowl ban. It's going to affect you for a year. You can start doing damage control. Whereas right now when kids are asking about it, they don't really have anything they can tell them other than, we wait and see, essentially. Other thing I think that's hurting Tennessee in recruiting and will hurt Tennessee in recruiting is, and we kind of talked about it, I talked about it last week, the potential of them opening things up, but dead period extended through the month of May until June 1st, and I think that hurts Tennessee. They have a new staff, and obviously kids can't visit anywhere right now, but when you have never met these coaches face-to-face, and I think it's a lot easier to get them on campus with other kids, especially when you look at how heavily Josh Heupel's talked about recruiting the state of Tennessee in this class. You have a lot of good kids. You get them on campus, kind of build that camaraderie, potential of playing for your home state, seeing your potential head coach and coach in person. I just think right now it's really hard to recruit top-end guys when they've been talking on Zoom calls with Nick Saban or Kirby Smart every day for a year, and you're just trying to hop in now in what is obviously a much, much worse situation at Tennessee than their other SEC rivals.
What do who impressed you the most this week in the introduction press conferences? Ryan, you first, and then David.
All of them impressed me. I'd say probably Joey Hazel, the quarterback's coach, the most. Now he's got a little bit of a easier job out there to, put on a good showing and a good face, but a lot of things you were saying I thought stood out. I think are going to look good to quarterback recruits, and him being a young guy, him having played for Heupel, I think makes a big difference. He can go in and tell these guys how he develops me, how good of a developer he is, how good of an offensive coach he is. But overall, I thought he was really impressive on, I guess that was Tuesday that we talked to him.
David, what about you?
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Yeah, I loved what I heard from Joey Halsley, and that familiarity, I think, is going to be huge for the development of guys like Harrison Bailey. That's something to be excited about. I'm just, as a former quarterback myself, having a coach that can really develop you and work to your strengths is huge. And Tennessee has been really hungry and desperate for some really good quarterback play. Haven't had it in a little bit. So That's pretty exciting, man. I'm going to start dubbing this offense. I'm going to start calling it the Beyblade offense.
Okay.
Nobody steal that. I'm calling it the Beyblade offense. Reason why is because Halsey was talking about he's going to let quarterbacks let it rip. So Beyblade, let it rip. So I'm going to see what this Beyblade offense is going to look like. It's up-tempo. They run a lot of plays out of the same formations that will confuse defenses. Even the linemen got to do some running. That's going to be the entertaining part, man. You can't be in a Heupel offense as an offensive lineman and think you're just going to be able to stand still. You got to go to the second, third level and block. So, that kind of got me excited. But I also like Coach Golish, coming in as offensive coordinator and tight ends coach. I think he kind of has like a little bit of a youthful spirit to him as well. A lot of these guys do. I'm looking at the coaching staff, And I'm the familiarity jumps out, yes. But also, some of these guys are kind of young, man. Cody Burns played with Cam Newton in college, you know? Like, Cody Burns is not really that far removed from his playing days in the SEC. And I think that helps a lot. So, I like it. As a young brother, I'm a fan of some of these hires as assistants, and I would be excited to play for them if I'm, you know, if I'm Hyatt or if I'm dang, I'm forgetting his name already. He's like my favorite player on the team. The quarterback. I already lost his name, and I said
Harrison
it earlier.
Bailey?
I lost Harrison Bailey.
Okay.
No, it was Harrison Bailey, but also Caden Salter too. Like, I'd be
who got compared to Deshaun Watson this week. I don't know if y'all saw that. He got compared to Deshaun Watson.
I did not see that.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed because I almost called Harrison Bailey Joey Harrington because I was thinking about I watched a video like 30 minutes ago about where all the cover athletes of NCAA video games are now, mm-hmm. and Joey Harrington was on the cover. And it was talking about how, like, his career was just, like, horrible. And I was like, do not call that kid Joey Harrington.
Interesting. It's interesting that you're still pretty high. I don't think Bailey's going to start next year. I'm resigned to the fact that it's going to be Hendon Hooker in a gap year and then Salter after that. I would be surprised at this point if it's Bailey still as the guy.
I would, you know, I want him to compete for the spot, you know. I think the guy can, I think he's got a lot of natural talent at the quarterback position. I saw what he did in high school, and what he did in high school, you know, running like a pro style was incredibly impressive. It was incredibly impressive. I think he also has that ability that's really hard to teach, to drop balls in a bucket between defenders, you know. I think sometimes we can kind of become prisoners of the moment when it comes to the athleticism of a quarterback. But in Heupel's offense, you definitely got to be – he can make it pretty easy for you. But I think it's more so than the athleticism. I think you got to have some of that quarterback and that football IQ to really know what the defense is doing. Because sometimes he'll give you two play calls, and it's just up to you to, okay, we're going to kill to the next call based off of what I just saw here. You got to be able to do that. So I feel like, for me, just Harrison Bailey should at least be able to compete for that spot. And, you know, I mean, he was brought in with the mindset that it was going to be, you know, his time once Garantano was done. So I would at least like to see him get a full spring in there. Get him a spring game, get him a real off season where he doesn't have to quarantine, and I feel like he's got a shot.
Interesting. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be open. They're definitely going to give all these guys a chance, and I thought that was Golish. I thought was honestly more open than you see most coaches talking about things. He said they're not really going to have a feel, you know, great feel for things out of spring practice. This is going to be a 6-month deal where they get to know these quarterbacks, they get to know what they do, and then they'll make a decision pretty late on who's starting. What he did say, I mean, he didn't say explicitly that he has to have a running quarterback. He said that, you know, they've played with different styles. That's something he liked about Heupel, is that Heupel's been able to have success with different guys at quarterback. But it did to me sound like he'd like to have a running quarterback, that would make things easier on him. So that's obviously a point against Harrison Bailey that both Hendon Hooker and Caden Salter have going in their favor, and like we said, we've talked about on here before, with the question marks at offensive line, I think that could be very important next season to have a little bit of mobility at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it play out, and I think it'll be important to just have a full off season and see what it all looks like. But I don't know. I think it will be interesting to see nonetheless. David, what can we check out from you this week at WBIR?
Well, we've got a lot of high school basketball coming up. We've got district championships, district tournaments that are going to turn into regional tournaments. So with all that, of course, we've got a few more Tennessee basketball games, both Vols and Lady Vols, but also that baseball season starts today. So it's, you know, finally baseball time. We got some softball starting as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of good Tennessee sports going on. And for me, I love when the softball season, baseball season starts, because even as a journalist, going to a baseball game, going to a softball game, it's just a few hours to just relax and just be at the ballpark and just enjoy the atmosphere. And then at the end of it, you're like, oh, okay, well, I got to get to work now. But in the few hours that you're there, you're just at the ballpark enjoying yourself. So nothing really beats that.
Absolutely. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, like David was saying, baseball season starting this week. Had a pair of previews on VolQuest.com today and yesterday on the hitting and pitching. So all you need to know on the Vols entering the season. And then over at Daily Beacon, we have an incredibly busy weekend of Tennessee sports, Tennessee basketball, women's basketball, softball, baseball, volleyball, and soccer all in action this weekend. We'll have coverage of all of those games. So stay tuned, and we'll have everything you need on Tennessee's very, very busy athletic weekend.
Absolutely. Go check it out. I think we're playing, I think it's ESPN Plus tonight. So you can watch Georgia Southern Tennessee on that at 7 o'clock.
That's disgusting.
Beat say it again.
Southern. I don't care who's playing. I don't care who's playing Southern. Just beat them.
Is Southern not
care
state?
Who's playing
is,
Southern,
I,
just be, it,
is that a real rivalry
my
now?
I can't stand them. Real rivalry, man. That rivalry is more brutal. The only rivalry I can liken that to.
You're fired up about this.
It's Falcons Saints. That's the only one.
Okay, let's calm it down. It's not Falcons Saints. Georgia State and Georgia Southern is not.
It is Falcons Saints.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Here's why.
Uh-huh.
It's not just you're looking at the on-field stuff. It's not just on-field stuff. It's the jokes on social media. It's the constant jabs. It's the constant jeering. It's like the personal, like those personal things behind everything there. Like the pettiness and the rivalry is the reason why.
And that's why
it's like that. And it's like that with any sport. So Falcon Saints is obviously just, that's just football. But literally, I don't care if it's a spelling bee. I want Georgia State to beat Georgia Southern because I want to be able to say Georgia Southern can't spell. Like if it's swimming, I want to say Georgia Southern can't swim. You know, it's not just, oh, we beat you in football, we beat you in basketball. Dude, no. If it's a Connect Four tournament, I want Georgia State to beat Georgia Southern. Like, that is how personal it is.
Oh,
and there
goodness.
Are always going to be jokes. There's always going to be jeering, just like Falcons versus Saints. If you're a part of that community on Twitter, it's when the seasons aren't even playing. Like, you're not even in season, they're still going. Falcons players are not players, fans and Saints fans go at it every day. It is after the Super Bowl, and they're still going at it. Mind you, neither of those teams made the Super Bowl. So it's for real, man. And that's why I say it's the only one that I can compare it to, but that's because I'm a part of that one as well. You know, I kind of look at the other ones, and I'm like, well, you know, Georgia, Florida, you know, that's kind of a big one, maybe in football. I don't really know so much about basketball, but definitely in football. But even if it's, you know, whatever sport, soccer, if it's baseball, if it's softball, women's basketball, like I said, spelling bee, that rivalry is for real.
Incredible. Did not expect to wrap up on this note. Just the putting over Georgia State, Georgia Southern on this podcast. I love it. All right, man. Well, this has been great. I appreciate it as always, guys. We will talk again next week.
All right.
Yeah, for sure.
It,
sounds good.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.